Let's pray.
Father, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up to you. We place them totally into your hands. Do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. I remind you once again, 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient, love is kind. We've been looking at the attributes of love, and for the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at kindness. So far, we looked at what kindness is and what it does, and last week, we looked at the kindness of God. This morning, I want to begin to taking a look at the kindness of God's people, our kindness, us. There's an important choice each of us makes many times a day. The choice is often made without much consideration or remuneration. It's not the type of choice that should be made without contemplation. The choice to show this world, through your words and deeds, yourself, or show it Jesus Christ. So often I find myself resigned to regret for a moment that I will never get back, a moment when I snatched defeat from the jaws of spiritual victory, simply because I thought others really needed to see or hear from me instead of Christ. Each time I do this, it proves that I am not yet conformed to his image. Showing the world what I was, instead of showing the world what I am, I have to admit that no matter which I choose to present to the world and the church, I am surely showing them what I want them to see, what I've chosen. For me to openly proclaim to be the image of Christ and then present only myself is a cruel thing to offer people who already live in a world full of cruel things. It is noteworthy that this choice to show the world me instead of Jesus Christ not only disheartens me and offers no help to others, it deeply disappoints my God. He has called me to be a light set on a hill, as he has called you, so that this world can find its way back to him. But so often I've covered that light with my pride, and as I have at times made this valley of darkness a little bit darker. Bearing the image of God is not an unbearable burden, brothers and sisters. It is an undeserved honor. We should not be embarrassed when we fail to be what we are. We should be mortified. It should feel like a defeat, because that is exactly what it is, the true defeat of this life. However, it is the remorse of defeat that pushes us on to perfection, and repentance is truly the beginning of holiness. We learn to be like Christ. We learn to be what we are by learning the harsh truth about what we were. There are a few things that have contrasted the image of my flesh with the image of Christ more vividly than kindness. Everything I told you last week about God's kindness also applies directly to his people. If kindness is the proof of his love, then it is also the proof of ours. If we are not kind, we do not love. If we do not love, then there is no proof of God in our lives. As I've told you many times, there are two reasons we remain here after we accept the Lord. First, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then to show the world the same Jesus Christ. And we can do neither of those things without kindness. Sanctification is making me kind so that the world will know that kindness is not a myth, but rather it is the very nature of my God. It is our calling to show the world God, and we cannot do that without being kind to them and to each other. And once again, I define the term from Webster's for kind: affectionate, loving, of a sympathetic or helpful nature, of a forbearing nature, gentle, arising from or characterized by sympathy or forbearance. And once again, I offer for you the antonyms of kindness: indifference, inconsiderate, unsympathetic, uncompassionate, uncaring, harsh, merciless, rough, and nasty. If you are not kind, you are being one of these other things, and none of these other things is a reflection of Jesus Christ. None of them define his image. But kindness always does. It is impossible to be as he is without being kind. This morning, I want to be sure that you understand that being like him is our calling. And if we are not like him, we have nothing of value to offer this world. Before we understand how we are to be kind, we need to be sure that we understand why we are to be kind. 1 John 2, 5-6 says this, "But whoever keeps his word, in him the love, kindness of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him, by kindness, which is the definition of love, we know that we are in him. The one who says that he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." Obedience to his word is the universal sign of the love for God. It says, the one who keeps his word has the love of God perfected in him. Perfected love is a sign of Christian maturity, nothing else. As I noted 2 weeks ago, if willing to live a life defined only by kindness, God would be well pleased with them. Only the kind get to sit at the table where the meat eaters sit. Love alone is proof of our spirituality. And love is patience and kindness. And these things are how we know that we are in Christ, not ourselves. If we say we abide in him, claim that we are Christians, then we ought to walk in a manner as he walked. In love proven by kindness, we ought to be like him if we claim the title of Christian. 1 John 4:17 states, "As he is, so are we in this world." This statement covers a lot of our reality, part of which is that we represent Christ to this world. We cannot do this without presenting his kindness to all and to everyone without exception. Romans 8:29. "For those who he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that we would be the firstborn among many brothers." The kind intention of the will of God in creation is for us to become conformed to the image of Christ. This tells us two very important things. First, if I must be conformed to his image, then I am not now completely conformed to it. What I am, my flesh, must be changed to what he is. This was the plan of God that started creation, the causal effect. Second, the word become is dynamic in nature. It tells us that conforming is an active event, ongoing and purposeful. It is occurring in me right now and in you at this very moment, and it will continue to do so until I am like him, until I am not just kind, but until I become kindness. For me, any act or word of kindness is a victory. Any that are something else is a defeat. I know I may lose battles, but the war is a foregone conclusion. My defeats make me long for the complete surrender of my flesh. I long to be a kind Christian instead of any other kind. 1 Corinthians 15, 48-49. "As this is earthly, so also are those who are earthly. And as this is heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have been born in the image of the earthly, we also bear the image of the heavenly." This speaks to the inherent conflict between our two natures, one of which is kind and one of which is not. The transition from goat to sheep was instantaneous. The change in behavior takes a lifetime. But there is a great word of hope here. We will bear the image of the heavenly. This is a proclamation of certainty. You will be kind, even if you are not so now. And you will be in an uncomfortable in your own skin until you are. You are bearing his image for the sake of the world. The world desperately needs to see it. It needs to experience kindness. And it is our calling to show it to them. But to do that, I can no longer show them me. Philippians 3:8 says, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I might gain Christ." You cannot have your will and God's will. One of them must be willingly given up, turned away, and lost to you. But when you lose one, you fully gain the other. You give up your right to seek revenge, to criticism, to speaking the truth in hate, or to speaking a lie in love, to gossip, to passive aggressiveness, to demanding that people repent and humble themselves before you instead of God. These things are rubbish. You've lost them to gain kindness and to change this world, because kindness shows the world the righteousness of God. What I must give up is the antonyms of kindness. Just because you choose to be offended does not mean there was an offense. And just because there was an offense doesn't mean kindness is excused. Samuel Johnson wrote, "Kindness is in our power, even when fondness is not." People don't earn our kindness any more than we earn God's. How else can we be a reflection of His image? How can we demand of others what God did not demand of us? How can we show them God with such actions? We cannot be the image of Christ if we are kind only to those who we like or who are kind to us, or those that we have determined for one reason or another is on our side. Luke 6:40-41. Jesus speaking, "A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he's been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own?" It's good to get that last verse in some context. I'm being trained by the Spirit of God in Scriptures, through time and experience, to be like Christ. Who's training me? Christ is. However, this will not occur until after I have been fully trained. But once I have, I will be like my teacher. I will be kind to all, and I will bear a true witness of him, an accurate reflection of his image, something that I do not presently always do. 1 Peter 4:1, Peter wrote, "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." No one likes the idea of suffering, and nobody likes the idea of sin. Problem is, we must experience one to experience the other. This verse can be looked at two ways: a physical suffering, including death. Once you're dead, you're not sinning anymore, which is, of course, true. And your flesh, your will, must die so that the Spirit, his will, can live. Colossians 3:5 tells us to put to death our earthly natures. Romans 8:13 tells us that if we put to death the deeds of the flesh, we will live. I truly live. Romans 6:6-7 says this: "Knowing this, that our old self, my flesh, was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin." Suffering in the flesh is crucifying the flesh's desire to present to this world and to the church something other than loving kindness, to live the antonyms of kindness instead of kindness itself. Paul tells the Galatians that this is an act of faith. We put forth kindness instead of indifference, expecting the Lord to work through our obedience. Galatians 2:20, he wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." It's by faith that we live the life of the Spirit, expecting, believing that it will produce more than life of the flesh, more than what we had before. If we don't believe that kindness will bless others and ourselves, we won't offer to anyone. If we don't have faith in kindness, if we don't have faith in love. A few chapters later, Paul tells the Galatians what their part in this transformation from acting like goat to acting like a sheep is. In 5:22-26, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. They actively fought against it. They lost their desire to follow it, and they nailed it to a tree for everyone to see. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church that he dies daily. The basic English translation reads, and this is beautiful, "My life is one long death." Everything that I experience is one long death of my flesh. It is sanctification occurring. The benchmark for how dead your flesh is love, and that love is proven by kindness. The ultimate purpose of kindness is to show the world who and what God is. If I show them anything other than kindness, I am showing them what my flesh wants them to see, not my spirit. And I dim the light that they need to see Jesus Christ. John 3:30, the mantra of the sheep. He must increase, but I must decrease. That is the call of our lives. I have nothing of value to offer God or this world. A sober, less profane version of a goat is still a goat. If you present to the world a shampooed goat, they'll know it's just another goat that will eventually smell like the rest of them. If you want to know how much you decrease and how much he has increased in your life, consider the kindness you offer to others. We are the image of Christ in this world, and Christ is kind. We have no option but to be kind or to be in open rebellion. It is one or it is the other. Know this. What we refuse to do out of kindness, God will teach us to do through empathy. You know how we learn through empathy, right? God puts us through the same trial that we refuse to offer kindness to someone else in, so that we will learn its need and its value, so that we will want to be kind when we see it the next time. We learn to love by needing love and then being loved. We learn to be kind by needing kindness and then receiving it. This world needs to see Christ, not me. And kindness will speak more to them of Christ than any sermon I could preach or any Bible study I could teach. The 3-week cold. Frederick Faber wrote, "Kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning." Amen. Brothers and sisters, to be sure, kindness will cost you something when you offer it to an unkind world. But you must consider what it will cost them if you do not. It is in this consideration of their need that kindness takes root. Being willing to pay a price for another is a true sign of love. As Christ said, there is no greater love than being willing to lay down your life for another. And part of laying down that life is being kind. When you are kind, you are laying down your life. You are opening yourself up to being taken advantage of. But you know full well, going in, that that's how it is. You spent time in this world. You understand it. You know how the goats are. Because this world often mistakes kindness for weakness. And what senses weakness, it will prey upon it. Let them. Offer your life to them as Christ did. And let the proof of your offering, the proof of their value to you and to God, be your kindness to them. Knowing that kindness is true strength, strength that fears only one thing, failing them by failing to show them the kindness of Christ. Take what you need or what you want from me. I'm dead, and the dead have no need but God. I must be kind, because they need me to be kind to see Christ as kind. And love, kindness, cast away all fear. Amen. Hymn number 92, For the Beauty of the Earth. Thanks, ladies. That was very nice. Brothers and sisters, when you find yourself in that moment of spiritual epiphany, when the joy of the Lord is flooding your soul, take that joy and show someone some kindness. When you find yourselves in the depths of despair of seeing what you are and what you've done, show someone some kindness. It'll lift you up. When you find yourself anywhere in between, show someone some kindness. And that'll allow you to go from here more than anything else, in peace, not in pieces, out into that world that needs that peace, and show them Jesus Christ. God is good. Amen.